But won't you stand with me now for the reading of God's word? We're reading from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Do not neglect the spiritual gifts you've received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourselves into your tasks so that everyone will see your progress. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word this morning, for we know it is life and it is what we need to sustain us each and every day. So I pray that as your word is presented today, that you will just speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, as Brandon said earlier, interrupt, cause us to hear things that we have overlooked before. But more importantly, God, may we take these things out and share them with others so that they too can see you in us. And we give you praise for this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, just a little behind the scenes, as we're getting ready to head towards mentorship, that's also how people grow. You know, growing up, my first job was pulling and digging up those thistle weeds and the milkweeds in a dairy farmer's field so that the cows would not eat them. I was 12 years old, and I made a whopping 25 cents an hour. But Bill and Ruth Riley showed me the importance of hard work. They fed me. They took care of me. And they were an important part to show me the, as I work hard, there's a benefit to that. I had my dad and my mom that showed me that as a church member, just because the church is there doesn't mean that, well, the elders and the pastors have to take care of it. The church members took turns going in and cleaning the restrooms and cleaning the church. And I remember my mom getting sick because someone had poured some ammonia in something and she poured some chlorine in there and it just made that nauseous gas stuff. But she didn't quit. We opened the windows, got it all aired out, and she continued working there. So here is Paul talking with Timothy about the importance of hard work and speaking into his life on why he needs to continue to grow. So over this last month, I've been reminding you of the words that was being given by a very wise man named Paul to his young disciple, who he called his son in the Lord, to Timothy, reminding him the importance of staying in God's word. It is through the word that he was able to grow in his ministry to which he was called. In sermon number one, we told you the need for daily nourishment, for daily spiritual exercise, and for living a life of integrity. Sermon number two, we told you about the command to teach the word, to set an example on both on the outside and the inside of our lives, and to devote ourselves to the scripture, to exhortation or encouraging others, and to teaching how to live it out. Sermon number three, Kevin brought you why the proper food for growth, knowing that our food source is God's word as a milk, as bread, as milk, as meat, and as honey, or even dessert, and the evidence that you're truly growing will be the fruit. So this week, Paul continues to encourage spiritual growth in these five areas: focus, meditate, dedicate, integrity, there's that word again, and stay true. How many times have we heard that the way that we remember things is through repetition? So as we practice it more and more, then it becomes part of our lives. And Paul keeps coming back to integrity because that is the key thing in our lives as Christians. It is how we live our lives out. So I want to invite you to follow some of these practical steps. It's something that I myself, I'm still working on. You know, I'm not asking you to follow me, but rather I'm asking you to join me as I follow Christ. It is my desire to show you through God's word that in order to be successful, it's not merely just me presenting you a sermon full of platitudes that someone else, you know, with their trite or even stale comments. For God's word has been around for a long time, but we know this, it is never stale. It is always fresh, and it's never trite or trivial, but it's powerful and brings life to us. So just as he provided fresh manna every morning for the people of Israel in the desert, his word provides fresh food for us every moment of every day. And here is a fresh serving for you today. Number one, focus. Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received. Matthew Henry said, "The office of ministry is a gift. It is the gift of Christ." And he was told, do not neglect the ministry gift given to you. He was called out to present the word of God. It was his purpose, recognized by the elders of the church, for him to be up there to present God's word. And Timothy's gift was recognized and affirmed by these leaders, and that it was given to him by the Holy Spirit to build up the body. I have a picture for you. A succulent plant. How many know about succulents? All right. Succulents are those plants that are really hard to kill. They require very little water, very little care, but they still need to have some attention. Now, this is what it's supposed to look like. Now, this is one that was neglected. I'm not saying where you could find that in this building, but it is an actual plant that did not make it. And why? Because the person who received this thought the plants were fake. And so no attention was given to it. No light was given to it. No water was given to it. It was totally neglected. Well, the same is true for our ministry gifts. God's given each of us the gift of salvation. And the Holy Spirit has given us a gift to be used. And it's not the same gift. But the thing about it is, as we have that gift, if we just keep it wrapped up, sealed up, and don't share it, there's a chance it's just going to wither up and die. And just like our muscles, if we don't use them, can atrophy, we can have spiritual atrophy, which leads to spiritual apathy. In other words, we need to exercise our faith. Put it into practice. Paul did not want Timothy to ever feel like he had, ta-da, arrived, and could just sit back and cruise until Jesus came back. But he was reminding them that he had a job to do. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, it says, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ." Have we arrived there yet? So, we are to continue in this, training up. And how many of you know that when you're training, sometimes you make mistakes? But that's why we're supposed to live in that grace and love and mercy, so that we can help each other grow and become stronger. The gift that he has given us is multifaceted. and it's meant to be shared, it'd be like me having a double panned sheet cake for my birthday and just me eating it. As you can see, I don't need that. But in the same way, that gift was meant to be shared with others. So as we share it, we can all enjoy it and grow in the Lord. You have to remember that Timothy was at Ephesus when Paul wrote this letter to them. So he heard it. He's probably the one that read it to him. And he was reminding Timothy that he needed to keep preaching until they all came into unity and were mature in the Lord. Are we all in unity here yet? Are we all mature yet? So you're going to keep hearing the message and hearing the word and hearing the challenges. And sometimes you'll get your toes stepped on. But other times you'll be there to help pick others up. That's why we all need each other. Secondly, you are to meditate, which means give your complete attention to these matters. A lot of times people think meditation is just that sitting in a quiet corner and going home. That's what other religions do. But there is a time that you need to go away into that quiet closet, that quiet place, where you can hear God. As Brandon said this morning, to have those moments of awkward silence. Because if you've got the radio on and the television on and Alexa is talking to you and then your kids are over here talking and they're talking about the scores, there's so many distractions that are calling your attention. How can you hear the still, small voice of God? I did a Google search to see how much time the average pastor spends to prepare for one message. And the average was 13 to 18 hours for one message. Now, that's the average. So that means some spend less and some spend more, but the average is 13 to 18 hours. It's like preparing for a term paper. Now, some of you might wait till the last minute to write the term paper. And that's when a lot of times that you end up not bringing in fresh stuff. As you're preparing your hearts every day, do you know that you're a living sermon? And so if you looked at that 13 to 18 hours, that's not even, you know, you're tithing your time back to God. And as a pastor's preparing and spending the time in prayer and searching through the scriptures and getting examples, those are things that are also drawing him closer to the heart of God. So that when he brings this message, it's not something that someone else wrote, but it's a fresh buffet for everyone to find something that they can have that will speak to their lives. In the book of Acts, the apostles called the seven deacons to serve the needs of the church so that they could spend time in prayer and the study of God's word, which is in Acts chapter 6. But look over to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, okay? And it says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise." If you're spending the time to meditate on these things, will there be space for any other stuff? Kevin said last week that, you know, the GIGO, garbage in, garbage out, when he was talking about food, well, the same thing is true for our thought life. I remember several years ago that the youth group did a fasting from all media. And it's like, why? Well, they were encouraged to spend time in God's word through that, so they could hear his voice without all the other noise from out here. Yesterday, I was working at the high school. They had a meal preparation time for a ministry in Lesotho, Africa, South Africa. And there was a mix of people from people in their 70s all the way down to high school students. But the sad part was, you know, we were supposed to pack as many boxes as we could, and everybody had one job. One job. But there were a lot of people that had their phones out in one hand and the scoop in the other hand, and sometimes they were missing the mark because they were distracted by this. We need to put this stuff away to have that time so that we can hear and really clear our thought life. And I think that's why it's important that we take times that we do fast. Fast from the physical food. And the reason, and we spend that time in prayer when we normally be eating. And why? Because it helps clear our head. There's a quote from Guidepost Magazine from Brooke Obie. And she said, the benefits for fasting are 1, soul cleansing. 2, a new desire for God. 3, a deeper praise. 4, a sensitivity to God's word. And 5, a new satisfaction. It's a small price to pay for what you gain. And meditation, just like love, has to be both an inward and an outward journey. I don't like quiet. I like the noise and the hustle and the bustle. I don't like being alone. I want to be out with the people. But I also know it's important for me to withdraw and to have that time with God. Because if I'm not here all the time, I'm not going to hear his voice clearly. And it's not just the case for me, it's the case for y'all as well. Because you're going to reach people in your life that I'll never come across. You will be the Jesus that they will see. Thirdly, he told Timothy to dedicate himself. He said, throw yourself into your tasks so that everyone will see your progress. Now, I want to shout out to our guys on the football team. If you haven't seen the Newcastle guys play, you need to go and encourage them. But they have been working really hard. And I know Luke and Titus are here in the church. And Titus has been getting some good publicity in the paper because of the work that he's put in, because he's dedicated himself to that. But he couldn't do it without the offensive line clearing the way for him and the defensive team making there. So if they all just did, oh, here comes a guy. Okay, there he goes. Well, I can't run. That guy's blocking my way. No. There's twists and turns and contorting his body in such ways. It's like, how did he break that tackle? And it's because he dedicates himself to that. So if someone's that true to dedicate themselves to a sport, how much more should we dedicate ourselves to the service of the Lord? But to prove my point, I brought a clip from The Blind Side.
Coach ain't here to protect him now, is he?
Team is your family, Michael.
Go! Cut back, Rocky Morton.
Dead ball foul.
Now what? Was he holding?
No.
Did he hit after the whistle?
I don't believe so.
Then what was the fight for?
I don't know. Excessive blocking.
You're kidding me. Sorry, Coach. I stopped when I heard the whistle.
Where were you taking him, Mike?
To the bus. It was time for him to go home.
Dedication. He was taking him to the bus because it was time for him to go home. He had put up with all the smack talk during the game, and he dedicated himself to driving that point home. Can we have that same tenacity with God's word? With driving it home in our lives? We know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. So since it's not flesh and blood, we can't do it on our own. We can only do it through the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And that's why we have to dedicate ourselves. You have to be all in. Jeremiah 20:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." So just like a physical workout, you have to put effort into your spiritual workout. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13 says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Who's doing the work? Who? God. So just like when Jesus came and called the 12 disciples, he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." It's God doing the work in our lives. And that only happens when we dedicate ourselves to it. You know, I've told you guys before, I've dedicated myself to many diets, but then gave up on them. That's not true dedication. That was just an promise that I broke. But in my commitment to the Lord, I'm not going to make that mistake. I'm not going to break that promise. We are called to dedicate in all that we do, in all areas of our lives. We have to give ourselves wholly, wholly, in order to be holy, wholly. You can't do it half-hearted. It's like eating a half-baked cake. Brownies, okay. Half-baked cake, no. It's just meh. Doesn't have that full quality. And that's because there's only half an effort put into that cake. If it had been fully baked, it's a true blessing there. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Romans 12, 1 and 2. You present yourself as a living sacrifice. You are the one who puts the sacrifice on the altar. The only problem with a living sacrifice is it keeps getting up off the altar. That's why we have to be the ones to keep it there. We have to be the ones to place ourselves there, which requires dedication and commitment. There'll be temptations for you to get up. And it's not always fun being on that altar. But we sing, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. Not one half, not two thirds, not 99 and 44 one hundredths, all. And then fourthly, he talks about integrity again. He said, keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. In other words, live a life worthy of the calling. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. All y'all are called to live this way. All y'all. Each and every one. Not just the leaders, not just the pastors because of a position. That's everyone's calling. This letter from Paul. Dude, I'm in jail because I was preaching the gospel. But I'm telling you, keep doing it. Because it's worth it. Until everyone knows about Jesus. That's the call. You are a living example of Jesus that others will see. Whether you like it or not, people are watching you. You know, we joke about, you know, as Brandon was saying earlier, how we're wrangling the kids and trying to get them in the car, and, you know, we're yelling at them, come on, we're going to be late. And all of a sudden we pull in, you know, we're yelling at them, and quit kicking your brother, quit pulling her hair. And then we pull in the parking lot and say, hi. Blessings, brother. Come on, children. Let's show them God's love today. Real life. But people in the car beside you may have seen you at your kids all the way here. Then they pulled in the parking lot behind you, and it's like, oh, did they see that? More than likely. Or what about, as we were using in those skits earlier, about all the time we're standing in line and there's that lady in front of us who had 19 items in a 12-item or less line. And we're just seething and we're just talking about it. And then the person behind us is watching us and going, didn't I just see you at Walmart on the way to church? Ken, you're getting a little personal here, aren't you? But believe me, there's a mirror right here for me as well. We all are called to live this way. And we're also we're challenged to continue to grow or to keep it fresh. In Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 24 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. So just like each and every day is a new day with God, we have to be open to learning more from his word each and every day, knowing that the Holy Spirit will reveal something new to us from even some of those same scriptures that we have read before. I like to read. But once I've read a book, it's done. And I knew someone said, "Oh, I keep that book because I like to go back and reread it again." Yeah. Honestly, the only book I want to keep rereading is right here. The amount of time I would spend rereading a book I've already read, I could be spending in this. And the Holy Spirit can be showing me new things to help me grow stronger and maybe even help me understand someone that I'm dealing with at that time. We have to keep growing so that we can offer fresh food to even those that are in our lives, especially in our own families, to show them how they too can find this source of life. And number five, stay true. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you in verse 16. Your own salvation is the self-care in our spiritual life, and it's vitally important. For if we're not healthy, how can we correctly lead others? As Kevin preached last week in Psalm chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "And on his law he meditates day and night, keeping it fresh, staying true, knowing that that's what I have to do." And then in Colossians 4, 2, it says, "Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart." You know, realistically, that's what a sabbatical season is for. In the Old Testament, they were told that for 6 years you plant and harvest, and the seventh year you give it rest, so the soil can rejuvenate. Jerry talked to us about the reason for having a weekly Sabbath on our own, having a day of rest. It's the way God designed it. And this sabbatical time for Jerry is a time, a season of him refreshing. Kimberly sent me some pictures this week, and it showed them out on the, they were at a log cabin on their way down to Florida, and it's just beautiful. And she said, they're in, you know, just being so refreshed together. But you know, it's not just for Jerry. This sabbatical season's for us too. Because just like in the Old Testament where they prepared for that year when they would not harvest, we prepared for this time when Jerry wouldn't be here. And the things that are taking place are that which will rejuvenate us and restore us as well. Things that are being planted in us and encouraging us. And I'm so thankful that I get to be a part of that. Knowing that God was preparing me for this time. And these things I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself as well. These are the things that speak truth to me, and I pray that it resonates in your own heart. Whether you're 15 or 85, the truth is the same. It's for everybody to stay true to God. And that only happens by staying in his word. And why? Because we're working on our own salvation. Daily we're working on our salvation. But others, the other people's salvation, that's because we're supposed to be taking this message out to them. And they see it in our lives. Likewise, it says in Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6, Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. While we can't make the decision for you, for them, I should say, it's only natural that people will look for an example to follow. I mean, kids imitate their parents. Young athletes imitate the pros. So like it or not, people are watching our lives. We need to reflect Jesus in everything we do. I got a text from my exchange student son that's now back in Colombia. And Sergio said, "So, you have a good birthday? What are you doing?" I told him all the things. And he said, "So who's preaching this Sunday?" And I said, "I am." And he said, "Well, what's your message about?" And I told him it's about living a life in front of people with integrity. And he said, "That's the one thing you always did. And I thank you for it." Sergio hasn't given his heart to the Lord yet, but he's this close. And if I hadn't stayed true to my message and my integrity in front of him, I don't think he would be there. And I pray for him every day. And that's what we need to be doing, folks. If we're doing these steps of focus and meditating and dedicating and integrity and staying true, will we make mistakes? Yeah. But we know that there's mercy and grace and love that's being poured out over our lives. And we help to hold each other accountable. I meet every Friday with three other guys. We hold each other accountable for our spiritual walk. We need those people in our lives speaking into us and encouraging us. But at the end of the day, it still comes back to what am I doing when it's just me and Jesus? John Maxwell said, "The more you walk, the less you have to talk. Live the life in front of those who seek to that you seek to influence. Our leadership is more caught than taught, and people would rather see a sermon than hear one." So, I've said it before. I'll say it again and again and again until I see it happening. But then it will just be a thing of, you guys got it. Now I have to keep telling these people, the next group, and then the next group. The message doesn't change. God called each and every one of us to grow in Him. Each and every one of us. And all of these simple truths are from God's Word. They are here for us as believers to follow and not just to pick and choose what we want to do, but to say as a disciple of Christ, I will follow His commands. I challenged you from the very beginning when we started this, from Psalm chapter 116, verse 17 through 19. I will offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call in the name of the Lord. That means me personally. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Y'all know I love you. And I want nothing more than for us to succeed as a church. But it takes all of us working together. Because it's not just a building that's the church. It's right here. This is the church. The people. And it's our job to build one another up and to encourage. But it all comes down to you have to make the choice. You are the one that chooses to listen and obey or ignore and turn away. So as the worship team comes up, I'm going to ask you, what will you do today? God, it's not an easy road, but you never told us it would be easy. You told us to follow you. And I'm sure just like when you led the disciples up the hills and down the hills, through the valleys and through the desert, that they wondered where you were going, but you were always with them, training them and loving them and showing them what they needed to do. I pray you do the same thing with us as your new disciples. This current pack of people that are called to love you with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love each other as you loved us. I thank you for that. I thank you for the goodness that you put in us, and that you're so patient and kind to us. And even in the, as when we were being corrected by you, you're still loving us and showing us just who you are. And we give you praise for this in Jesus' name. Amen.